work in us and move in us. We can sing, Lord, give me Jesus, but I pray that would be a reality of our lives. That seeing you again pour down like the rain that is pouring down upon us. I pray that would be a daily reality in our lives. So thankful for these group of men. So thankful for this church family. May you continue to bless us and be with us, Lord, today. And the day after, and the day after that, Lord, we are so desperate for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated, guys. Before we get serious into the Word, because you know how serious I am, my favorite Pastor Richard memory was when I invited him to come to a youth camp. I don't say this is my favorite memory, because I've had a lot of times where the Lord is like, show me my heart while he's teaching, and then put it back into my heart, and those were good. My favorite funny time with him was before Jeremy Camp was Jeremy Camp. He was just a guy that went to Vista, and he was leading worship. And he took Richard's songs, the song, The Nail in Your Hands, and he turned it into something that I don't think Richard had ever heard before, because it was this like, nails in your hand, dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. And he's so gracious, he's in the back going, I can just see in his face, like, what did you do with my song? What did you do to my song? He didn't say that, that was just the look on his face, and I was like this guy. Anyways, I just thought I would share that with you, because that's your pastor. So anyways, why don't you open up your Bibles for this session to the book of Numbers again, Numbers chapter 28. Numbers. I don't know, these are not my normal going to guest speak messages, but just felt these things that the Lord wanted to share with us this weekend. Numbers. Numbers chapter 28. Again, last night we looked at the fact that if I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be, if I'm going to enter into all that God has for me, it's not going to be just because my flesh desires so, though it does at times. I want to be more like God. It's not going to be just because I decide to do it. It's going to be a move of His Spirit. So I need to cling to Him and allow His Spirit to turn me into a different man. Amen? We got that? Well, the Spirit of God is often compared to, in the Scripture, a fire. And so today, practically, we start to see like how that happens in our lives, that if the fire of God, if He is going to be quenched in my life, well, just like a real physical fire, I got to make sure I'm not introducing into the process something that would hinder God's Spirit from moving and working. And that's what we looked at this morning. Like, we need to take purity seriously. Well, God loves you. God's for you. That's not going to change. Just like your love for your kids doesn't change. But it doesn't mean that purity doesn't matter. God wants to work and move in our hearts, so we need to be honest and let Him deal with our hearts and our lives. We want to make sure there's no foreign thing getting in there and corrupting what God wants. And when it is, then we're quick to repent and say, Lord, this needs to go. But there's a whole other side to this walking with God in the power of the Spirit. And that is giving the Spirit of God the fuel that He needs to set your life afire. Letting Him have the fuel in your life to do the things that God is desiring to do. And for that, I want us to take a minute and look at Numbers chapter 28. Because in Numbers, God sets up this spiritual rhythm that the Jewish people were to have in their lives. And it began by morning and evening coming to Him. Look with me in Numbers chapter 28, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my offerings, made by fire, as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at their appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is an offering made by fire, which shall offer to the Lord two male lambs in their first year without blemish, day by day, as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb, notice, you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer in the evening. And 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour is a grain offering mixed with 1/4 of hin of pressed oil. It's a regular burnt offering which is ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out a drink offering as an offering. And the other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering. Its drink offering you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Right there you say, well, that's why I avoid the book of Numbers. What in the world is that talking about? Well, first of all, men, let's be clear. The point for the book of Numbers for us anymore is not to describe how to do sacrifices. One of the original intents of the book of Leviticus and parts of the book of Numbers and parts of the book of Deuteronomy is God is instructing his priests and his people on how to come and be with him. It's why all the detail is there in the book of Leviticus. It's instructing the priest on how they were to prepare the offering and how the people were to bring an offering. And there's so many pictures of Jesus there, but it's not like today we do that anymore. I mean, I'm right here at Metro Calvary. We don't offer bulls on the altar between services. That's some Calvaries, you never know. But here you guys are solid. There's no offering of animal sacrifices between the services. Why? Because Jesus is our sacrifice. Jesus is every one of the offerings, every one of the sacrifices was a picture of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that every week I don't show up to church with a bull, because I'd have to. I'm that much of a loser. Every week my livestock would take a huge chunk out of it as I'd come and say, yeah, again. You know, I'm glad. I'm glad we have Jesus, the final and perfect Lamb of God. Amen. Amen. So again, the point for us anymore is not to go, well, how many bulls did he want offered and how many lambs? Because the point is, Jesus needs to be your Savior. But for us, I think there's something we can learn from this. That God intends there to be a spiritual rhythm to our lives. We no longer have to offer a sacrifice because Jesus is our sacrifice. But in that age, in that time, every morning and every evening, they would come and appear before the Lord. It was daily. It was a daily time to meet with him, to pour out their hearts before the Lord, to listen to what God was saying to our lives. And friends, I think there is a great spiritual equivalent to that today. That you and I have an opportunity every day to open up the Word of God, to let the Word of God speak into our lives, and to take a moment to pour out our hearts. God, this is what's in front of me. This is what my family is facing. This is what's going on among my friends and in my church family. And to take a time, morning and evening, and appear before the Lord and say, God, I want this spiritual rhythm in my life. Oh, this is about devotions. Isn't that legalism? Legalism. I hear that so much. Legalism. Well, read your Bible and pray every single day. That is so legalistic. Listen, legalism would say, if you do that, God will love you more. That's ridiculous. If you read your Bible and pray every single day, God's going to love me more than he loves you because I... Ridiculous. But I share this a lot, because I know the joy of hearing from God day by day. You know, I'm like you. I've got issues in my life. I have people that are problems in my life. and I, you know, I was just talking to Pastor Richard about this yesterday. Like, and I go home and I talk to my wife about it, and I feel like sometimes I just burden her. You know, it's like, how was your day? Well, this happened, and you know, and I just like, I feel bad for her sometimes, and just. And I realize in that time, like, I have the Lord I can go to. And like you, I know what it's like to get up in the morning and be real with the Lord and say, Lord, this hurts. This is frustrating and maddening. I look in the mirror and I see this in my own life and it needs to die. And when I start to read, I hope you've experienced this. It's like something off the page just leaps off it and speaks to my heart. And in that moment, guys, I feel like I'm the only person in the world. Like God actually wrote his word just for me. Now, I know he didn't. I know he wrote it for all of us. And he's a big God and he has a big word. But, you know, I feel like that. I feel like, are you kidding me? You hold the oceans together with a word. This world is just held together by your hand. Even the very atoms, you hold all things together. In you all things consist. And yet you love me enough to speak truth that I need to hear into my life this morning. Are you kidding me? Sometimes I read and I don't have that experience every single morning. Sometimes I read some things and I write some things down and then I'm going through my day. And somebody will show up. Oh, I just don't know what's going on right now. I don't know. And it's like, I read about you this morning. Oh, man, this is for you. And I, oh, God was going to say this to you. And again, I feel like, are you kidding me? The God of the universe knew what was before me that day, and he gave me what I needed to go through that day. Friends, I don't encourage you to morning and evening come before the Lord and read his word and pray and hang out with him because I want you to have a legalistic relationship with God. That's the furthest thing from my mind. It's because I'm jealous for you to have that kind of experience. To know God like that morning and evening. And for you that are dads, to teach your kids to have that experience. Teach our kids. Well, if I encourage my kids to read their Bible every single day, won't that drive them away from the church and the Bible? What? What verse is that? What Bible verse did you get inspired of that said, if you encourage your kids to read their Bible every day, they're going to walk away from Jesus? What story is that in the Scriptures? Now listen, I fully agree. If you're going to be a legalistic jerk about it, if you're going to say, you better read your Bible or God's going to hate you. Yeah, they may walk away from the Lord, but it's not because of the word. It's because you're a jerk. That's why. If you're a giant hypocrite, you're like, you need to read the Bible, and you haven't in months. Yeah, they might walk away from the Lord, but it won't be the Bible. It'll be your hypocrisy. Do we understand? But there's something to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing as a family. You know, a while back, I started where in the evening, the day before, I read what my whole family reads in the one-year Bible. So last night, I'm reading what some of you guys read this morning. And the reason I do that is not because I feel like I need 15 more minutes in the Word. It's because I want to know what my kids are reading the next morning. I want to know what my bride is going through in the morning so I can talk and share and say some things to her. And, you know, send her a little text this morning. I'm glad you're a crown and not a cancer. If you read Proverbs, you know what that's about. And if you don't, check it out. Anyway, so it was just like, it gives us a connection, a communication where I can sit at the dinner table and say, what's God doing in your life, son? What did you get out of Deuteronomy? What did you read out of the book of Luke? What are you learning in these things? And it's this point of conversation in our lives as a family. Now, in the morning, I have a completely separate thing. I'm just going through book by book as the Lord leads, like many of you do for devotions. But like I shared at family camp one time, I mean, this is another opportunity. Right now, because my kids are young, every day, the Bible I'm going through, I'm writing notes to them on every page. Every page. And each one gets their own Bible. And I'm underlining saying, you know, this is what God is showing your dad here today. And I think this verse is for you. And I'm praying this for you. And my plan is to hand that to them when they're 13 or 18 or whatever we work it out to say, you know, God's creating you to be a man. God's bringing you as a woman. And this is my gift to you. This year or two that I spent just pouring through the Word, praying for you every day, praying that you would understand these truths, that they would be real in your lives. Again, this is not something I came up. This is the Lord saying, hey, we need to pass this on in our lives. That morning and evening, I'm connecting with God and saying, Lord, I want to be yours. And again, it's not legalism. It just maybe is wisdom that the first thing on your mind, guys, isn't the news or the emails. I know the tendency. You get up and, oh, let me check out what's going on in the world. Let me check, do they find that missing plane yet? So they asked me how my flight was yesterday. I'm like, it's not missing. So I was pretty good. As far as other flights can go, it landed right where it was supposed to land. Praise Jesus. But oh, what about the plane? Or you know, open the email. And I don't know about you, but there's always somebody that's upset about something. And when I do that, it's like my day starts with, oh no, what's happening in the economy? Oh no, what's happening in Washington? Oh no, what's happening to the Malaysian flight? You know, oh no, why is this guy upset at me? And maybe, just maybe, the first thought should be the thoughts the Lord has for you. Maybe at night, just a few more minutes. Not again to be legalistic, but maybe you'd sleep better if the last thought on your mind wasn't whatever the nightly talk show guy is saying or whatever zombie show you're catching up on. Maybe if the last thought is God's heart for you, God's feeling to you, maybe you'd sleep better. Maybe you'd dream about Jesus. Again, this is just wisdom from the Lord. Morning and evening, I come before Him and do what? Feed my spirit. Feed the walking with God in the Spirit morning by morning. Morning and evening. And look at verse 9. Look at verse 9. And on the Sabbath day, two lambs in the first year without blemish and two tenths of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, mixed with oil, it is a drink offering. This is a burnt offering for every Sabbath besides the regular offering with its drink offering. Again, God is setting up a spiritual rhythm in the nation of Israel where morning and evening they come and appear before Him. Morning and evening they tune their ear into Him, they pour out their hearts for Him, and once a week. Once a week. Now again, we don't have to offer a sacrifice. That stuff not really applicable to us today. But what is that once a week the day was different for them? In His law, He says, 6 days you work as hard as you can. You get the jobs done, but one day in seven is to be different. There's a time to come before Him, a time to spend with Him, to spend with your family, to relax, to make one day different. Now I know some of us men say, I don't need that. I'm a hard worker, I don't need a day off. Well, the people you work with, they need a day off of you. You understand? Like, if you're that intense, I promise, the people who work for you are like, please, take a day off. Please, go away for a little bit. And your family, they would love an afternoon with you. Your Lord would maybe love a day where you're not rushing through getting done reading in 15 minutes. Where you can sit a little longer and meditate in the Scriptures. To linger over the Word of God and let it just marinate in your heart. One day in seven, that's a little different. You know, the Jewish day, it would start at sundown and it would go till sundown the next day. And it kind of works for me because every other week I'm working on a Saturday night. So in our family, Friday night when the sun goes down, it is the Sabbath. And I've been pulling my kids aside now for a while. And we sing the Welcome Sabbath song I learned from some trip in Israel. I'm sure I don't pronounce anything correctly, but we sing this song together. And then we talk about it. Hey, guys, listen. This day is different than any other day. Any other day. I want you to work hard in school. I want you to get your rooms clean. I want you to do everything you need to do. But this day, until the sun goes down tomorrow night, we are just going to rest as a family. We're just going to take this time out. And I use it all week, dads. All week. I say to my son, do you want to just play all day Saturday? Yeah. Well, get your room clean now then. Do it. Okay. And then I gather them together and I say, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Every day we get in the Word together as a family, but what do you want to do that's different today? And the kids have come up with great stuff. How about we take a prayer walk? And as soon as they say that, even the dog gets involved in it. It's like, walk, you know, and brings the leash in its mouth and just, oh, I like Sabbath. You know, it's like, it doesn't actually say that, but you know what I mean. It's like even the whole family does it. And again, not to be legalistic, not to be weird, but it's like, hey, God's not going to love you more if you do this and less if you don't. But God intends there to be a spiritual rhythm in our lives where our spirit is being fed. Where who we are in Him is increasing morning and evening every single day. And once a week, a day is different. And, look at verse 11. At the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year without blemish, 3 tenths of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil for each bull, 2 tenths of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil for 1 ram and 1 tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, a grain offering each lamb, a burnt offering of sweet aroma made by fire to the Lord. The drink offering shall be 1/2 hin of wine for a bull, 1/3 of a hin for a ram, 1/4 of a hin for the lamb. This is the burnt offering each month throughout the months of the year. And also 1 kid of the goats, a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. Now again, throw aside all the drink and the hin of wine and the hin of this and the bull and that. Our sacrifice is who? Jesus. Jesus is our sacrifice. I am not in any way, please don't misunderstand me, I am not in any way encouraging us to go back into Judaism. Paul is really clear on that in the book of Galatians, that it is the finished work of Jesus Christ alone that saves us. No amount of rituals and religiousness will ever even come close to what Jesus did for you and me. But I do see in this a spiritual rhythm that God put into his people's lives, where morning and evening, every day, they come before him. Where once a week, one day is different and distinct, a time to rest, a time to reflect, a time to be with family and be with the Lord. And every month was a little distinct. On the new moon, or basically what would be to us the first of the month, I mean, our calendars are a little different than the moon cycle today, but it would be basically the full moon, the first day of the month, they were to do what? They were to come before the Lord and offer two specific sacrifices, a sin offering and a burnt offering. Now again, that's not what we're to do, but think about what those offerings represented. A sin offering was coming before the Lord and saying, God, I'm sorry. I have violated your will. I knew what to do and I went the other direction. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you just crash anew and afresh into the darkness of my heart and remind me of your love and your grace and your forgiveness? It was repenting of your sin. Now a burnt offering, please note this because it'll be important at the end of our study. The burnt offering was different. The burnt offering was a sacrifice of dedication. The sin offering was repentance. The burnt offering was saying, Lord, I just want to be yours. You see, it was completely consumed on the altar. And a lot of the other sacrifices, a portion went to the priest, a portion went to the family, fellowship offerings, they all ate together. I mean, yeah, every one of them is a great picture. But the burnt offering was to be completely consumed, like saying, Lord, like this bull is completely consumed on the altar, so I want to be. I want to be completely yours. And God says every month, at the first of the month, come before me and do this. And again, guys, could it be that God desires there to be a spiritual rhythm in our lives where we come to him and pour out our hearts to him morning and evening? Just to hear his heart for a few minutes and talk over our day and talk over the day that was at night, where he's the first words we hear and the last heart we have every single day. Could it be that God intends every day, once a week, to be different? Where there's a day to spend with the family and spend with him and just do it different than all the other 6 days? And could it be that there's wisdom in at least once a month coming before the Lord and offering a sin offering and a burnt offering? Again, not literally. But maybe getting away for an hour as a man, or maybe take your family and say, hey, it's a new month, and you know what? Man, there's a lot of things we need to repent of from last month. So just anew and afresh, God, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. I want you to wash the dirt and the junk that I have just allowed to develop in my heart these last 30 days. I need your cleansing anew and afresh today. And then a burnt offering. And Lord, in this coming month, I want to be yours. I don't want this to be 50-50. I want it to be 80-20. I want to be yours, Lord. I want you to consume me by your Spirit, where once a month, for an hour maybe, we check in and say, Lord, forgive me anew and afresh. Cleanse me. Cleanse my family. I want to be dedicated to you. And by this again, it's not making God love me anymore. He can't love me anymore. It's not making me saved because I'm saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But I'm feeding my spirit. And as it connects with the Spirit of God, he's able to set my life on fire. Because there's things that I'm not allowing and repenting of that would quench the fire process. And there's fuel I'm giving the Lord day by day, morning and evening, once a week, once a month, and... Yeah, look at verse 16. Keeps going. Verse 16. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And on the 15th day of the month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and it shall be eaten 7 days. And on the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. And then it goes on for the next chapter and a half, and it describes the seven feasts of the Lord, also in the book of Leviticus, where God actually set up appointed times in their year where they were to come and appear before the Lord. You guys know this. Seven feasts, three of them in the spring, one in the summer, three in the fall. And of those, three were mandatory. Every Jewish man, the women, they were welcome to come. But men, you were required to be there. Why? Because God knows sometimes he's got to kind of push us men a little bit. Kind of encourage us a little bit. He says, men, you've got to be there. You've got to appear before me at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Pentecost in the summer, at the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. This is where you appear before me. So again, think this through with me. Again, there was a spiritual rhythm that God intended in their lives, where every day, morning and evening, they tuned their ear into heaven, poured out their hearts before the Lord, where one day in seven was distinct and different, that was different than all the other six. Where once a month they would come and offer a prayer of forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. And a prayer of consecration. Lord, I want to be yours. And there was a few times a year, one in spring, one in summer, one in fall, where they'd get away for a couple of days, reconnect with the Lord, pray over what God was doing in the coming season. It was a spiritual rhythm in their lives. Now we look at this and we sometimes say, why? Why would this be important? Some old dry passage in the book of Numbers. Why would this be important today? Again, let me reiterate. It doesn't make God love you anymore. He loves you more than you can possibly imagine right now. And he loves you when you're sitting in a men's retreat saying, Lord, I'm taking time to set apart to be with you. And he loves you when you're in the pig pen of sin. He just loves you. He does. And your salvation isn't based on works and performance. No way. It's based on what Jesus did on the cross. But sometimes, though we understand that, we think, well, then why? Why would it be important to morning and evening meet with him? He's not going to love me anymore? Nope. Okay. Why is it important to make one day different and distinct? It's not going to change my salvation. Nope. Why is it important to once a month have a day where I say, Lord, forgive me for the things in the past and I dedicate my heart anew and afresh for the month that's ahead? Will it change God's opinion of me? Nope. Why? Why is it important that a few times a year I get away and let him speak into my heart and life and just pray over the coming season? Does it change anything between me and him? Not really. Well, then why are you wasting my time? Let's just go to lunch. Because, men, we look at the year that is ahead and the year that's going to be after that if the Lord tarries. And I love sometimes to, do prophecy updates to the church. I think those things are cool every once in a while to look at what's going on in the Middle East and look what's going on in Asia and Europe and, the Lord is coming soon because I believe he is. But do you know what for sure I know is happening in this year coming in front of us? Whatever happens in the Middle East, bad stuff will happen in the Middle East. But you know what I know will happen for sure in this coming year? Trouble is coming to your family this year. Well, that's not very nice, but it's true, isn't it? In this life, Jesus said, you shall have tribulation. There is just trouble going through this life. We live in a fallen world where we sin, other people sin, the whole world sins, and we're in this cesspool of sin and problems, that's problems and problems together. Troubles are the result. Troubles and problems are the result. David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It happens. And we can blame the economy, we can blame the president, we can blame the world we live in, but the biggest problem I face in 2014 is me. It's the fact that I take me, my flesh, and I into this coming year. That's my problem. I don't know about you. But I bring myself into the coming year, and that creates problems. And Jesus told us this is the way it's going to be. That the wise man whose house is founded upon the rock, the storms will come, but that house will remain firm. But the wise, or the foolish man who builds his house on the sand, when the storms come, that house is going to be devastated. You see, it's not going to change God's opinion of you at all. But wise is the man that builds his life and builds his family on the rock that is Jesus Christ. Because when the storms come, and they will, then you are anchored to a firm foundation. don't misunderstand me. You're anchored because you put in that time morning and evening, once a week, once a month, a few times a year. You said, Lord, it's not going to change your opinion of me. It's not going to change my status salvation-wise. But I'm making a decision to tie this anchor deep. I'm making the decision to build this foundation firm so that when the trials and the troubles come, me and my family, we can stand. Reason number one this is important is trials are going to come. But it's even beyond that. It's more than just trials and troubles coming our way. There's another thing that's really important. Go with me, if you would, to chapter 29 of Numbers, next chapter over. At the very end, he goes through, he describes all seven of the Jewish feasts. And then, starting in verse 12, he starts talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the great feast, the final feast in the Jewish calendar. It's that feast where Jesus, on the great day of the feast, the priests would go down to the pool of Siloam, and they would pull out water every single day, and they'd walk it back up to the Temple Mount, and they would pour out the water every single day, and the people would pray and cry out. And the last day, the great day, the priests walk down into that pool of Siloam, and they actually don't get any water. They're kind of going through the motions. And they walk back up to this pool, this Temple Mount, and they dump out this empty pitcher. And hundreds of thousands of people would sit around in complete silence. And they would be thinking, Lord, the water that had been poured out for 7 days, we're thanking you for being faithful in our lives, for providing for us, our forefathers in the wilderness. But when that empty pitcher came, they were saying, but Lord, more is on the way. Messiah is coming. We're longing for Him. We're looking for Him. This is what we want. This is what we desire. And they would do this in complete silence. And it was then that Jesus cried out, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Can you imagine being His disciple at that moment? It's like, what? We can't take this guy anywhere. Doesn't He know it's quiet time? Doesn't He know it's time to be? Of course He knew. He was speaking to them in this great feast. But the book of Numbers describes something about the offerings. I just want to draw your attention to before we go have lunch. It says, on the 15th day, this is verse 12 of chapter 29. On the 15th day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation, a holy feast. You should do no customary work. You should keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. And you present a burnt offering, an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. 13 young bulls in the first year, the 2 rams, 14 lambs in the first year, and they should be without blemish. And there will be grain offerings with fire, and he goes through and begins to describe the offerings every single day. And as you read through, here's what you find. First of all, this is a burnt offering. Now, who can remember from 15 minutes ago, sin offering was repentance. What was the burnt offering all about? Dedication, consecration. And they would start on day one, they'd offer 13 bulls of consecration as a nation. We want to be dedicated to you. In verse 17, on the second day, they would offer 12 bulls. So you see that? 13 on day one. How many on day two? 12. I know you're getting tired, but 13 on day one, 12 on day two. In verse 20, on the third day, they'd offer 11. See this? 13 on day one, 12 on day two, 11 on the third day. On day four, they'd offer 10. Very good. On day five, they'd offer, that's right. On the sixth day, they'd offer. On the seventh day, they'd offer. And on the final day, the eighth day, they'd offer, you'd think six. You'd think six. Yeah. But look at verse 35. On the last day, they'd offer one. Now, what in the world is going on here? Again. These are offerings of dedication. This is the very end of their festival. And as they have been working through their year, they've been meeting with the Lord morning and evening. They've been taking time to be with Him one day in seven. They've taken time every single month to offer a sin offering and a dedication offering. And they've taken a few times a year to get away and be with Him. And as we see this final feast, what we see is each and every day, there are less bulls being offered. The picture, the symbolism, these offerings of dedication, this offering that says, Lord, I need to be altered. I need to be changed. I need to be dedicated to you. That less and less every single day needed to be altered. Less and less needed to be dedicated because they've lived their life in this spiritual rhythm. They've lived their year in this spiritual rhythm. So when they come to the end every single day, less and less needs to be altered. At first, it's proportionate. Proportionate to the time spent on day 8, 13, day 7, 12, and so on and so on. At first, proportionally, but eventually, exponentially. It's just one bull that needs to be offered. You say, you're kind of losing me. You're kind of losing me, Pastor Jack. Where are you going with this? Sounds like a stretch. God says in His Word, be holy, for I am holy. The first time I ever encountered that, you know, being a rotten sinner, I thought, man, He must be upset. He must look at me, sees right past all the things I put up and just goes, what's wrong with you, Duff? How come you can't be holy? I'm holy. Why can't you be like me? Be holy, for I'm holy. But the more I grow in the Lord, and maybe you see this too, I see it so differently now. I see it as the Lord saying, I'm holy. That's who I am. And if you cling to me, you walk with me day in and day out. You take one day, you make it different. You do these things on purpose to have a spiritual rhythm in your life. It doesn't change how I feel about you. I love you whether you do it or not. It doesn't change your salvation because that's my work and not yours. But by you choosing to do this, I'm holy, and if you hang out with me, that's who you're going to become too. Day by day, you're going to find less that needs to be altered. Less that we need to be dedicated. At first, it's kind of congruent to time spent. I put in the time, I'm seeing God work slowly. But eventually, it's just exponentially. God, man, you dealt with that I never thought you would deal with. You dealt with that heart issue that I never thought I'd ever get a handle on. It's like, today you set me free. God does it. You know, I was told you last night about that guy that a year ago, you know, he came to me and he's like, I want to be discipled. And he shows up with, you know, the flask full of alcohol to discipleship. And we just started going through the Word together. Last Wednesday night, like a year and a half later, he shows up, he comes to the front, and he says, I want you to know something. God has set me free from being addicted to alcohol. God has set me free. And there was tears in his eyes. There was tears in his wife's eyes because this had been a problem. Again, I'm not saying anything about, I'm just saying for him it was a problem. And he was like, God has set me free. Oh, that's the Lord you and I serve. At first, we're growing slowly, it's happening. And then suddenly, it's like exponentially, there's less to be altered. It's because we become like those we're around. I share this at every youth camp, but I think it's so important to hear. Most of you don't go to those youth camps, so it's all right. But when I was growing up, my mom had a very, what I thought was annoying habit. When I would talk to her, she would mouth back the words of my story back to me. So she'd be like, how was your day? And I'm like, oh, good. And I start telling her, this happened. And she'd be looking at me and go, you know, being a dumb teenager, I'd be like, Mom, what are you doing? She's like, what? You're mouthing the words I'm saying back to me. That's ridiculous. I said, oh, I'm sorry. Stop it, jerk. Then a couple days later, I'd be telling her again, something happened on the golf course. She's like, oh, really? Like, you're doing it again. I'm sorry. Listen, you young guys, you be nice to your moms. You be nice, because if not, God will judge you. I know of what I speak. Because I had been married like a couple of weeks. And I sat down with my bride on the couch and I said, how was your day, babe? And she began to tell me, and then she stopped. She said, "What are you doing with your mouth?" It's like, no explanation needed. It was like, I've become my mom. Oh no, no, no. You become like those you're around. Now that might be scary for some of you. But when that comes to our Lord and Savior, there is no better news on this earth. I know the frustration of saying, "Lord, I just want to grow in you. How is it going to happen? Is it your work in me or is it my work?" Friends, it's both. Of course it's His work. Your salvation is all His work. His love for you is because He chose to just lavish His love upon you. That's all Him. But don't you be mistaken that you don't have a part to play in that. You cling to Him. You make the decision to be in His Word and be in His presence. And then God does the work. I mean, if you've got an apple tree, an orange tree in your backyard and you never see it striving, it's not in your backyard going, that would be a problem. You'd be like, "What's going on?" But that tree, what happens? You've made a decision to plant it in good soil. It enjoys the water that comes upon it from heaven and the sunlight that is there, and the process that God put within that seed is to produce that tree and to produce fruit. Listen to me, men. Listen to me. God loves you. It's never going to change. But as you decide, "Lord, I want to be planted in the good soil of your word. I want to make the decisions to have a spiritual rhythm in my life where there's morning and evening times where I'm with you, where there's a day in the week that's different, where there's times throughout the year where I'm coming and repenting and coming and just giving my heart to you in dedication, times in a year where I'm saying, 'Lord, I want to hear your voice.' I'm planting myself in that good soil. I'm letting the Spirit of God just rain upon me, and the presence, His presence, the sunlight of His presence in worship and making times to be here and worship the King." What you're going to find is slowly but surely, God's going to shape you into His image. God's going to make you into the man that He desires you to be. Never forget that Jesus said to those disciples that day on that Sea of Galilee, "You follow me, and I will make you become a fisher of men. You men follow him. You men decide to walk with him. Decide to let there be some spiritual discipline in your life, not in a legalistic way, because it's good for you and I. You decide to say, 'Lord, there are things I can allow into my heart that will quench your spirit in my life, and I want to be quick to repent of those things when they rear their ugly heads. And I want to give you the fuel that your spirit uses to set my life on fire. Your job is to follow him. His job is to make you become the man he desires you to be.'" We have one more session together after lunch. I know how these go sometimes. Sometimes you get the food and it's like, now it's time to go. Unless you've got something going on you can't break, don't miss our final session together. Don't miss it. Because we're going to wrap this up and put a bow on it. I think that the last session is as important as any others. Because what our focus is on this whole process is so important. But Father, as we sit right now, do this work in our hearts. Lord, you know us. You know that we are dust. Our flesh is awful. But your Spirit resides within us. And Lord, I pray that we would walk as men walking in your Spirit, asking you to fill us and use us and change us into different men. And we know, Lord, we know it happens as we make a decision to repent of sin, to live a life of purity, to not allow things in our heart that will quench what your Spirit wants to do, and that we give, Lord, to you the fuel that your Spirit uses to set our lives on fire. So Lord, may there be some of these things we pray in and think through. And even as we fellowship now and we're so thankful for the food you are about to provide for us, Lord, would you bless it? Would you nourish our bodies with it? I thank you for these, the ladies that are serving, the guys that are preparing food too. I'm so thankful, Lord, for all the things you're doing. But Lord, may we eat, may we be refreshed, and may we be ready for one more session here this afternoon as you finish, I believe, the work you want to do just today. Not that there's not more work you want to do tomorrow and the day after that, but as you put a bow on what you want to do in our work, in our hearts today, Lord, may we be ready to let your Spirit speak to us one last time. In Jesus' name, amen.